welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm sure if we had to testify of this year, I think the majority of us would say that this was quite a rough year for most of us. And Gareth just shared now in our circle, you know, when you have a tough year, it is so much more easier to be thankful to God for. And then, sorry, Gareth, I'm just saying what you said. And then he said as well, because, you know, when you're in a tough spot, that suck place, we actually have a God that is with us and loves us and he can carry us through it. So it's so much more easier to be thankful for in those tough seasons than where everything is hunky-dory. But we are thankful to God, and we are thankful that if we look back to the year, I'm sure that many of us have so many things which we are thankful for. And I want to remind us that we should never stop thanking God for that which he has given us, which he has done in us and for us, and primarily just thanking him for our salvation. Because us knowing Christ, you know, that's great. I don't know if you know this, but for us knowing Christ, you know what? We're going to spend eternity in a place called heaven with God, and that's super. That's amazing. That's awesome. I don't know which other words to use. It's kif. It's more a Cape Town word than up here, but no, it's awesome. And we should be so thankful to God for it. Because the sad thing is, we know the reality, the truth, for those who do not know Jesus, you know, there's this one of two places that we go. But let's be thankful to God, and let's actually voice it to him. Say, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for heaven. And I'm sure that this family that we are, we would be able to recognize one another in heaven and just continue the kiffness. No one says amen, but I'm enjoying myself up here on my own. Family. You know, today, this word that God has laid on my heart, it's not a long word, so I'm not going to keep you long. Because of the worship team, they thought I don't have long. But you know what? I want today, this message, just to give glory to God and just for us to really just know again that God is good all the time. Yeah, we're getting better. We're getting better. Hallelujah. I'm not alone. I'm actually going to read some scripture as well. And let's read together out of Hebrews 6 from verse 13. The certainty of God's promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's a couple of things I want to highlight out of the scripture. And in verse 18, we read that we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And this word hope is something I want to focus on during this message today. And this word hope means expectation, a trust, a confidence, a hope. And in the very next verse, we read again, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Now, this is another hope, meaning safe, reliable, trustworthy, certain, and sure. So God says that in Him we have a hope. If we place our hope in Him, we have something what God says is an expectation, a trust, a confidence, trustworthiness in Him, a reliability, certainty, and surety. In other words, if we put our trust and our hope in God, He will not fail us. The Word also says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter what we do in this life, how bad we try to turn our backs on God, He will never leave us. He will never depart from us. There will be consequences, yes, definitely, but He will never leave us. He will never say, like, you know, this dude, it's easy for us to say, yes, this guy's a lost case, you know, I'm going to get him and pray for him. God never says that. He never turns His gaze from us. And then onwards we read that Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever. So Jesus tore the veil. We know when Jesus was crucified, the temple was torn in two. You know, it is not as much as the temple that was torn in two, but the veil inside the temple. Going beyond the order of Melchizedek. Now, what that means and what all of this means, that before Christ came to die on the cross for us, a high priest was allowed only to be in the presence of God in the most holies of holies. That is a place inside the temple, behind that curtain, behind the veil. So once a year, a high priest was allowed to go in there after, you know, this long process and then hear from God and then go back to the people. And what Jesus has done is that veil was torn, meaning that no longer do we have to wait annually, once annually to be in the presence of God or to speak to Him or to hear from Him, but we have complete access. So meaning that the veil has been torn, so the presence of God, in a sense, if you want to look at it in this way, has been let out of that holiest of holies into the world, into the earth, that through Christ Jesus we have access to our Father. Meaning that not only in that glimpse of a one day in a year where a high priest could have complete surety and hope and confidence and expectation in the most holies of holies, we have that 24/7 every single day of our lives because of the work that Jesus has done. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, with us sharing with one another our things which we are thankful for, but also things, you know, which sucked this year, which were hard, which were hardships, trials, tribulations, the things we needed to persevere through. You know, most of the things that is hard for us to go through, you know, God actually allows it. God actually orchestrates it. Why, you ask? You know, in order to test our hearts. But a very important thing to remember is that God will not let us go through anything which we are not able to overcome or have a way of escape. So God is this perfectly good Father wanting the best for His Son, setting up these points of growth, testing where the Son's heart is towards the Father, but ultimately just monitoring and keeping His hand on everything, whether we are going through the most horrible situation we think that we might be going through on earth that no one has ever gone through. God has His hand on you. He has His hand on your situation. He has His hand on your heart. And He's got the best interests for you on His heart as well. And when I was younger, I wanted to try out, you know, various different types of sport. At one stage, I played rugby, I played cricket, tried everything the school had and everything the school did not have. And, you know, if you want to try all the different kinds of sports, you need the gear. You know, so if you play cricket, you need all the pads and gloves, and you need a bat and everything. So When we were growing up, I didn't have the richest family. But my parents tried the best of their abilities to give the things that I wanted in order to do the sport thing. And I know that my parents knew that I'm probably just going to do this, pursue this thing, this dream of mine for 2 months and then just leave everything and lose the bat and just whatever with it. But still, they gave it to me in order for me to pursue this. So God knows the desires of our hearts just as the same as, and even more as what our parents know, is that we want to do these things. He knows the outcomes. He knows the trials that will happen in it. But still, he allows certain things to happen, even create a space for us to make mistakes in, but still to ultimately use it for good. And I'm sure that many of us sitting here can testify that we have made some horrible relationship mistakes. And if I'm the only one, I have made a lot of relationship mistakes. Was it God's will for me to break this girl's heart? No. I don't believe God wanted me to do that. But you know, God made me learn a bunch of awesome things and lessons out of those relationships. You know, the reality is God will never use a relationship to teach us lessons, because God won't use a hurtful heart or broken heart in order to teach us a lesson. God won't do that. Using a boy and a girl. But you know, it's so you learn. And so God allowed it. And instead of condemning me after all of those relationships, he made me learn valuable things out of it. Bringing restoration, both sides and all of that. So God is good. All the time. Second Timothy 2 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is good. All the time. That's hallelujah. You know, I'm sure that if we look back to this year, there were many instances that we disobeyed God or missed him. Even in the pursuit of trying to be in his will, and perhaps really just being faithless in situations, but God remains faithful. And in the same that when we make mistakes with sport or relationships or whatever, God just stays there, backing us all the time, just saying, come, Boyke, persevere through this. Because at the other side, you know what? Yes, we grow stronger and we grow wiser, but ultimately we grow closer to God, and that is what his heart is. And I believe God is wanting to today to encourage us, all of us, just to remain faithful and strong during the last stretch of the year. Many of us sit here and we look very tired. You're still beautiful, but we look tired. I'm sure those working in a corporate environment, everyone is just so tired of one another. If you have cubicles, no one leaves the cubicles. Everyone is just like, don't touch me, agitated kind of vibes, even anger. But I believe God wants to today encourage us for what is the time left in this year. Because what I also know, that God has started and he's been doing things in our lives this year. And perhaps in some of our lives there are things that have not been completed yet. Meaning that God said, you know what? It's not a quiz. Quiz, I want to establish this in your heart and in your life this year. And you know, quiz, perhaps got busy. You know, life happened. And that thing could not have been established through, you know, for whatever reasons. But God wants to finish the work that he has begun, and he's faithful to do it. But I believe God today wants to encourage us and to enforce us just to draw closer to him during this last bit. Because God wants to establish what he wants it to establish in this year, so that next year we have a complete hope and a surety for the things which he wants to do. So I trust the Holy Spirit that as I speak, he will just remind you of some things perhaps that God has laid down before you, perhaps at the beginning of the year or during the course of the year. And God's heart is, you know, he wants to complete it, he wants to fulfill it. Because there's a reason that God has brought those things before us. And let us not let our emotions or tiredness or situations stop things that God wants to establish in us and through us. Now through this causes us to have a hope in God. And I'm sure that us as individuals, as families, we perhaps in the very depths of our hearts, or maybe perhaps we ever confess it to one another, we have a hope which we are living towards, which keeps us alive, perhaps in the difficult and the dry seasons. Saying that, Lord, I have this hope of truly knowing you. Lord, I have this hope for us as a family to in this time and date, whatever, to be here. Lord, I have a hope that through you I will be established in this place in order to do this. Whatever things we are hoping for, God has placed those desires and hopes in us to give it back to him, to have that certainty and faith and unfailing trust in his ability to complete it. But with us placing our hope in God, there needs to be another reaction and a response from our side. And I'm sure that we know it, but perhaps it is so easy to just remain in the place of prayer, just saying, okay, Lord, when are you fulfilling this? When are you completing this thing? But perhaps there's another side to the coin as well, where God requires of us to do something to acquire the fullness of that hope or that desire that God has placed in us. And before I go into what that is, I've been to a couple of Eastern countries, and you know that even though there are many strange and wonderful things there, but one of the things that really just struck me when you look at some of the expressions on people's faces just sitting there in this place of ritual, and you see a hopelessness. You know, we are so privileged to be in this place and this lives, and you know, even the country which we live in, because you know, most of us, we have a hope. I'm sure that all of us sitting here, if I say that we have a hope, there is something that pops into your mind or your heart saying that, yes, I've placed this hope in God to attain and to grow and to be here. I can't imagine what a sad or dry life it should be, you know, not to have any hope, to have lost all hope. And I'm not even speaking about, you know, if you have a relationship with Christ, because I believe if you have a relationship with him, the hope automatically is restored. But to not know Christ and to not have anything to live for, I think that is a very, very, very sad place to be. And I think that's another thing we can be so thankful to God for, is by giving us that hope. And before I share, you know, what this expectation on God's side is for us to walk in this fullness of this hope that is placed in us, this desire, we're going to read together a portion of Scripture which is quite lengthy. But if you read together with me, you don't need to read Bible again today. I didn't say that. Let's read together out of Hebrews 11. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 29, by faith. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet in unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past her age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear, and they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship even over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that this child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And Scripture goes on to give examples of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. So faith is assurance of things hoped for. So if we look back at this, piece of scripture we just read, you know, one person stands out for me, and it's Noah. Noah had a hope, you know, seeing this sinless world around him. His hope was that him and his family would be saved, restored to righteousness. God just saying, okay, that's fine, Noah. No, I want you to build an ark because it is going to rain. Now, the crazy thing is it has never, ever rained before. So Noah did not have any reference of what rain is. I think that's pretty crazy. So in order for Noah to have this hope of redemption, in a sense, to be fulfilled, you know, he had to step out in faith and just believe what God has seen him, to act out as if these things are already happening. So what are the things we hope for, and the things we have placed our trust in? Is the one question, and another question is, what are the things that God has asked us to do in order to, by faith, have the assurance of that hope? I believe that many times when we have not seen that breakthrough, in a sense, you know, is when we have failed to step out truly in boldness in the faith, having faith in God in the situation. And a personal example I can share with you this morning, which is just so amazing. This last couple of months in my life, I had to win favor with a person. Not a lady. It's not about a girl, but about a girl's parents. And I had to win favor with them, in a sense, which in the beginning was a really, really difficult situation. But God has started to, you know, just bring out all the evil and myth out of my heart through the situation, through repentance and working with God through this. And just said, you know what? You need to step out in faith. And I said, okay, Lord, but how do I step out in faith in this situation? And God said, you know what? You need to treat him already as your father. In a sense, you need to confess it to him as well. And then, you know, just speak of him and think of him already as that position, which he hasn't, you know, taken him at that stage. It was a bit awkward, that conversation, I must tell you. But through faith, just speaking with this guy, today I can testify that him treating and seeing me as a son, you know what, is growing more and more every single day. And today I can testify as well, you know, that he has given his blessing for me to be in his life and for me to take his daughter. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. So God has brought me out to, through faith, act in the situation. You know what? God, as in this situation, as in we read in Scripture, you know what? God came through because he's faithful. And today I want you to know that in this situation, whatever situation you are sitting here today, whether good or bad, with things that still need to be done, trying to finish the unfinished business, and today you need to walk out here just knowing that God is faithful and he will finish the promises which he has given to you. Knowing that you also need to have a conversation with God saying, Lord, I've placed this hope in you, but Lord, where shall I step out to make this happen? To step out in faith, Lord, to change the way I walk and think and talk in order for your name to be glorified ultimately through it. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And also Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the band, you guys can come to the front, please. As we just read, you know, we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And what I believe God wants us to do, you know, just with this year coming into a close, with us ending, in a sense, a chapter before opening a new chapter, even perhaps already having this conversation with God with whatever he wants to do in the next year, in the new year. I want us to, as the band starts to play, I want us to, you can all stand with me. I want us to, as on your own, we are standing as the band starts to play, I want us to confess our hope to God. And then to hold fast to that hope without wavering, because it is founded on the foundations of Christ, who is faithful even though we are faithless. So let's just, as the Holy Spirit, as we're speaking to us about those things which we are hoping for and trusting for, and have placed ourselves in God for, let's confess it to God. Let's just say it out loud before God. And if you don't want anyone to hear you, you can just, you know, just move out or whatever. But let's have a conversation with God around this. And then God is going to come and he's just going to again install in you that foundation of who he is and his love towards you, and even the better investment heart's desire he has to see those things come to completion. So let's confess our hopes. And as you start to do that, also just extend an invitation that if you are standing here, perhaps never have received, you know, this hope through Christ, this eternal life, eternal living, this never-ending peace through Christ, if you've never experienced that, if you've never placed your hope, your life in Christ himself, I want to extend an invitation that you are so welcome just to, as a band ministers, to come to the front. We would love to pray with you. And also, if there's anyone else, if you require any prayer, if you require any healing, physically, emotionally, if you want us to agree with you about something that is really difficult, you're more than welcome to come. We would love to pray with you. For the rest of us, let's confess our hopes to Christ. so that he can bring it to a place of unwavering faith and security in him. Trust that you will have a blessed week as we go after this. I pray that you will experience God so much more than you have ever had in your entire life. And I pray that God's presence will manifest where you work, where you sleep, where you walk. That you'll be so aware of him this week and all the days of your life.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like